You are locked on Warriors Daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I'm Daniel Warrior, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. On this Sunday night, the Warriors just had another game. They had another very consistent pattern in their win against the Orlando Magic. The final score was 118-98. It followed a now familiar format where they looked pretty shaky in the early going, ended up being, I'll talk more about it, a moderately close margin. Then it was tied at halftime, and then they went on an absolute tear in that third quarter and then rode that to the win. It's largely the same pattern that followed against the Pistons and against the Rockets, and it works for this team. I wrote a little bit about this for The Athletic, that there is a part of a danger of getting so comfortable with how good you are in those stretches to say, oh, we can just ride that to a win. But at the same point, as long as it's true, I don't think the Warriors need to worry about it that much. So they should consider it and kind of adapt from there. But another strong performance in that third quarter. For those of you who haven't seen it, I posted the shot chart and the shot plot on both my piece for The Athletic and on Twitter, and it's completely ridiculous. It's basically the Morey Ball dream. Every shot was either in the restricted area or from three, some in the corner, some above the break. I think there were 6 of 11 from above the break, which is really, really good. But I want to start with the beginning of the game because I found that interesting, enlightening, if you want to call it that, because they really did struggle early on, starting five versus starting five, and a lot of bad turnovers, but exactly what you would expect in this given context. And that's another part of why I wouldn't be that concerned as a Warriors fan with these rough starts, is it was not a circumstance where you would expect, you know, the Warriors to dominate, to come out like that. It was a 9 a.m. start Pacific time. While they have had one game on the trip, it's still entirely possible they haven't had changed time yet. There was a travel issue leaving Houston the night before. So not surprising at all that they were rough in that very beginning of the first quarter. And where things really started to turn, which was another twist in this game, was when JaVale McGee came in. So McGee played the last 5 minutes about of the first quarter, and the Warriors had been shaky before that, a lot of excess turnovers, and whether that was the catalyst or just figuring out that they had to get their act together, they had 8 turnovers in the first 7 minutes of the quarter and then 0 in the last 5 minutes, and that helped lead to an 18-6 run, which was the precursor to what ended up happening in the third quarter. A lot of really good shots, and Orlando, particularly without Evan Fournier, and DJ Augustine got hurt in this game and never came back, and Jody Meeks is already out, they do not have enough players that can generate offense for their team. They have a few players like Serge Ibaka, Aaron Gordon, that are good at converting looks created by other people, but they put so much of that workload on Elfrid Payton, who had some nice moments, that when the Warriors were able to take away the Magic's ability to score points in transition, their offense completely cratered, and then that created more transitional looks for the Warriors. So the idea of feedback loops, which are such a regular focus of mine, were really more prominent in this game because they faced a team that couldn't really do much to break the cycle themselves. So it was more about the Warriors executing than about the Magic executing, though the Magic were playing hard, they were playing well. And so in that very beginning of the first quarter, the Warriors gave the Magic all of the life that they needed. And one of the reasons I knew that the game was probably going to turn in a good way for the Warriors was in that early stretch, the very beginning of the game, when they were turning the ball over 5 times in 5 minutes, 8 times in 7 minutes, the Magic couldn't really put together that much of a lead despite the Warriors playing poorly. And that ended up, again, replicating itself over the course of the entire second half because the Warriors pushed into a little bit of a lead at the end of the first quarter. They're up 28-22. And then the unit that started the second quarter was an absolute disaster. And I don't want to throw too much just vitriol at Kerr for the decision, but the process was concerning. So they'd made the decision to sit Sean Livingston's game. Zero problem with that whatsoever. If you want to give a guy rest, especially considering it's the regular season against a weak opponent, give a guy rest. However, that created this absolute disaster of a unit because Kerr wanted to keep Steph Curry and Kevin Durant together. So it was a lineup that had no Stephen Curry, no Kevin Durant, no Sean Livingston, and no David West. It probably would have been okay if it had just been David West. That was the only changeover. But without all of those players together, it was Patrick McCaw, Ian Clark, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, and then Kevon Looney taking the David West spot as he did in the game against the Rockets, the first one with David West out. So that lineup can't maximize many of the opportunities that are created, and they lose a lot of that shot creation because Livingston, West in total helped do a lot of that work. And the difference between Durant and Draymond was really present in that lineup, because even though the Warriors have this nasty habit of just standing around and watching Kevin Durant do things on that second unit, that would have been a whole lot better than what they had. So they got absolutely smoked for the first 4 minutes, which is when Kevon Looney was in. They were outscored by 14 points. It was a 14-0 run. And then, so that actually made it so the Warriors had a modest lead at the beginning of at the end of the first quarter. They then trailed and held it about the same for the next few minutes, and then just completely blew their way back once Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant came back in, outscored the Magic by 8 points in the last 5.5 minutes, and that is what made the game tied. And so you see the ebb and flow of the way that half went, and you know, the Warriors struggled a lot at the beginning, had that nice little burst at the end of the first quarter, struggled immensely again at the beginning of the second quarter, and then had a nice burst. You could sit there and go, okay, see where that goes, and where that combination of factors led. And you're like, okay, probably going to be fine in terms of how this turns out. And that was exactly right. I mean, that third quarter was completely ridiculous. The Warriors outscored the Magic 42-24, got everything they wanted to in the lane from three, 8 of 16 from three. Curry was 4 of 8 himself, looked some of the closest that he has looked to 2015-16 unanimous MVP Stephen Curry that we've seen. And as the broadcast pointed out numerous times, this was his first game back in Orlando since the time he dropped 51 last season, because in the NBA, you only play each team that is out of conference once each time. So that was last year's game there. He was fantastic then. I think he's had a couple other good games in Orlando over the past, and Curry looked great. Durant had some nice moments. Clay was getting open. He ended up only having 6 points, but I remember he got open a couple of times. And that is exactly what you want out of this. They weren't giving the Magic any chances to run in transition. It was the fast break point margin was actually completely ludicrous. So Orlando had 3 fast break points. They only had 2 attempts in transition, and the Warriors had 20 fast break points, which is almost as many points as the Magic had total in the entire quarter. So the Warriors had 20 fast break points, and then some of which are overlaps with this, 24 points made off threes, and the Magic had 24 points in the quarter total and didn't get to the free throw line once. The Warriors only turned the ball over one time, which the Magic actually ended up scoring 2 points. Actually, they had 2 turnovers. I think the other one was a 3-second or something like that. And that is what the Warriors can do against a great team like this. However, has to be noted that playing as badly as they did at the very beginning of this game won't be as tenable as it was here, because a better opponent, especially one with more offensive capability, will hang a higher number on the Warriors, and that will make it that much tougher to come back. I mean, the Warriors are good enough to make some of those comebacks, but not like the one that they had to make today, because they pushed it, and then that whole fourth quarter was functionally garbage time, though slightly regrettably, Kerr again went back to having a lot of the starters on the floor for that fourth quarter. Clay played 7.5 minutes, Draymond played 6.5, and then Durant actually was sitting, and it looked like he wasn't going to have to come back in, but the margin got a little bit tighter. They brought Durant back in. He played a minute, pushed the lead back up 6 more points, I think from 20 to 26, and then they went, okay, this is the end of the game, and then they really cleared out the bench. And clearing out the bench did have the benefit of giving Damian Jones some minutes. As expected, he looked shaky out there just because he is a rookie who didn't get to play at all in summer league. He was certainly hustling, but just getting a sense of, you know, where he needs to be on everything else. It was being active on screens. It was disappointing that he didn't get the ball in his hands that many times. He had one turnover that wasn't great, and also missed a basket off of a pass. I think it was from Ian Clark, might have been from Patrick McCaw. McCaw was putting up shots in that fourth quarter. I cracked up because he did the same thing. I'm trying to remember which game it was. I think it was at Oracle, where he was in late, like last couple minutes. He was in the whole fourth quarter here, but it was the last couple minutes of that game, and just put up a ton of shots. In this game, he scored 10 points just in the fourth quarter on 4 of 7 shooting. And when you consider that Draymond and Clay played half of that quarter, it is kind of impressive that he put that up, though a lot of it was late. And that's par for the course. I mean, that's the sort of thing that happens in garbage time. McCaw's a rookie too, so I don't blame him at all for looking for his own shot, especially when it was going in. And you want to do anything possible to impress the coaching staff, because McCaw's still trying to get back his spot from Ian Clark. Clark was fine in this game. He wasn't as actively disappointing as occurred in the last couple of games, where he really did struggle. I believe it was against the Pistons, and then again against the Rockets, he was a little bit shaky. Those performances are probably an aberration. Today was a little bit more in line with it, except for the extended garbage time. Team was about even when he was on the floor, just kind of picking his spots when Clay rests. And the Warriors do need to figure out exactly how they want to strike these balances with Clay, but a lot of that will just depend on what works best for his rest and rhythm. I would lean towards having Clay get pulled a little bit earlier in the first quarter, since they're playing Curry and Durant together. You can create great looks for Clay Thompson in that late first quarter. I mean, you can be awesome, but then you're asking an awful lot of Draymond Green in that second unit, the one that starts the second and fourth quarter. So I expect that they'll strike that balance. That was actually something that Draymond talked about a couple of games ago, where the second unit really struggled, and he went, oh, well, Clay wasn't on the floor. And he's right. Clay is still a much better player than Ian Clark, who I've advocated to eventually be a Clay light for a long time, but he isn't there yet. And so then the Warriors used that fourth quarter, tried out some young guys, also got JaVale a few more minutes, and he wasn't as great as he was in the first quarter with the energy boost that he provided, but that is to be expected. But he did help in that fourth quarter stabilize things a little bit when they were getting a little bit haywire. And then, you know, just I think he was useful. And I liked that Kerr went to a different unit to start the fourth quarter than the one that handled the beginning of the second so poorly, even though the stakes were not that high. And everyone who listens to this podcast knows that I'm not the biggest fan of leaving starters in a blowout, but giving it a couple minutes, especially without Livingston in the game, the first like 2 or 3 minutes I didn't really have a problem with, because you just want to make sure that things are a little bit stable. And then it was a kind of a joke when Durant came back in, game was already settled. If you don't win when you're up 20 with 5 minutes to go, especially against the team that can't score, then it's kind of on you, even if Orlando hadn't gone all the way to their subs yet, because they didn't do that actually until that little run that Durant was in for. So it's hard to make any big pronouncements from a game like this, except that it is another illustration of why the Warriors are and will be a very good regular season team. They just have too much talent to lose many games to inferior opponents, especially inferior opponents like the Magic, who have trouble generating their own offense without the Warriors' help. They could and probably will have more trouble with Miami, because Miami is so much more aggressive defensively and they can create those looks. It'll be more like that first quarter, except the Warriors probably won't turn the ball over to the ridiculous frequency that they did in that first quarter. Also, while I don't think it's the biggest issue in the world and have no insider knowledge, my instinct is that having basically a free night in Miami, because they traveled, but the Warriors were in Miami early. They were in Miami more than 24 hours before the game. Might lead to a few long nights, and you know, it's the regular season. I'm not gonna go too nuts about that. If that possibility exists, I think it will be fun to watch the first quarter and just see if any of that comes into play. Kind of like the 12:30 or 12 games at Madison Square Garden that saddle many a team. And again, the Warriors don't have those same kind of stakes that other teams do. Even if the Spurs did get that nice win in Cleveland on Saturday night, I genuinely don't think that they are in too much of a... the Warriors are in too much pressure of losing the number one seed unless something bigger structurally goes wrong, because the Spurs are just going to take it easy. They're going to do what they're going to do, and the Warriors would have to come to them, as opposed to the Spurs pushing up and, you know, driving into that high 60s. I don't expect it, especially with Pau Gasol out for a little while with the broken finger. So still a lot to learn. Two more games left on the road trip. They play Monday at 4:30 against Miami, for those of you in the Pacific time zone. Other time zones, you can adjust it as you will. And then they play Wednesday in the Stephen Curry homecoming game against the Hornets. He has often played very well in that game, so always looking forward to it. That is a game that Nate Duncan and I will do the Twitter NBA show for, which is a lot of fun. And keep an eye on Monday's game. Of course, we'll have a Locked On Warriors about that contest. Still not sure if I'm going to do a guest or not. I'm using the general rule with these road games of if the game is good, if the game is interesting, I'll have somebody. If the game is not good, the game is not interesting, I will do it as a solo broadcast. And then we'll have a couple other episodes this week, still working on exactly what they will be. Maybe some sort of mailbag. I don't really have a deep dive plan in terms of like what I did with Steph Curry. People have asked me about doing one on Kevin Durant. I am going to do that because I have the data, because I did the research for the sporting, for the Athletic piece, and then I did a podcast on it from his prior years. So I'm going to do that at some point, but I want to have a larger sample. My current timeline on it is probably the end of February, because I want to just have more information there and I don't want to be irresponsible about it. And also that seems more like a one or maybe two off, as opposed to something to do more monthly. So I want to give enough of a sample, maybe do that at the end of February, and then the end of the regular season might be a nice little balance with it. As always, your feedback is important to me. You can reach out DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com. or Daniel Roux on Twitter, DannyLeroux. I try my best to read everything, and I respond to what I can, sometimes responding very, very, very late, but I try to read it as soon as it comes in. It's just the nature of my business. So I do really appreciate it. And if you want to support the show, leave a rating, leave a review, tell your friends, and also subscribe on whatever podcast player you use, and download every episode. It's a small thing, but it is really important, because if you don't download the episode, we don't get credit for it in terms of our numbers and then advertising. And that ties in with actually something I was going to allude to last time after the Rockets game, but it hadn't yet happened. And so I don't like really going into that, but hit a cool milestone with that episode of our 500,000th listen. So 500,000, it's fantastic. I really do appreciate it. It's a cool thing. I might have actually, now I'm thinking about it, mentioned that in the last episode. Either way, still cool. So thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.